You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We played Birmingham in the FA Cup when we were renting their stadium. So we were actually the home fans, because we drew them in the FA Cup, but we were at home, Blues were away. So they had to be the away fans in their own stadium. and they came up with one of the best chants I've ever heard at a football match, because we were all obviously sat in their home seats and the away fans were singing, "Who's the wanker in my seat? Who's the wanker in my seat?"
Hello and welcome to episode 23. Of the Comedians Talking About Football pod, where each episode a guest from the world of comedy and I discuss the lows, the highs, the overpriced pies and everything else that comes with dedicating your life to a football team. I'm your host, Sam Michael, comedian and long-suffering Reading fan, and I'm very excited for today's episode because not only do we have the brilliant Harvey Hawkins as a guest, and not only do we have a team never featured before on the podcast, but we have a sponsor. Yes, today's sponsor is WeAreCult.rocks, your companion for all things cult. We Are Cult magazine is an online website with reviews, news and features from the world of film, television, music, comics, books and everything in between. They've had some amazing guest writers over the years, including some from the world of comedy, including myself. Also, fun fact, the website's editor, Jay Gent, even provides the artwork for the podcast, the popular classic football sticker design, which are loved by listeners and guests alike. So check out WeAreCult.rocks now. Hey, if you're new to the podcast, welcome. We've got loads of great previous episodes for you to listen to and loads of guests coming up later this series. If you enjoy what you're about to listen to, why not leave us a review on Apple or a star rating on Spotify? Or at the very least, why not just tell a mate who you think might enjoy the podcast? Right now, though, we're going to crack on, as I'm sure there are some eager Sky Blues fans waiting for me to shut up and introduce our guest. So kick back and relax, because this is Harvey Hawkins talking about Coventry City FC on episode 23 of Comedians Talking About Football.
Football. At the end of the day. Football. It's a funny old game.
It's a game of
two. Comedians talking about football.
Comedians talking about football.
Harvey Hawkins, how are you, my man?
I'm very well, thank you. Very well. And yourself?
Yeah, all good, thank you, mate. Very well, very well. Now, obviously, people who are listening to this, they won't be able to see, but you're in a room there that I seem to recognise from various kind of social media posts, particularly, I think, during the Euros. Is that kind of like a little outdoor office football room you've got there?
Yeah, it is. It's been taken over. I would spin the camera around, but it's an absolute state. But it's taken over now by my girlfriend. She's kind of used it as her office, but it's also my like little writing space, really.
Oh, I love it.
But it doesn't get used enough.
Now, as everybody knows, like every guest we've had from Series 2 onwards, we ask everybody to put together their Fantasy Five-a-side team. Now, you were telling me, Harvey, that behind you is a big whiteboard. Every comedian needs one. I've got one behind me as well. All the scribbles on there. They're basically just loads of gigs I've had to cross out as I approach fatherhood. but behind you, there is obviously, you know, where you do your new material. But I can see a few Coventry City legend names on there. I think somebody's been doing their research.
Yeah, I put a little bit of prep in there. I did feel, I think I texted you saying I felt like Mike Bassett. And yeah. I just needed those, you know, like the little magnetic circles that you can like move around. And I really wanted that. Yeah, I had to whittle it down. It was difficult, to be fair, because I'm sure you'll go on to it in more detail. But the way you described it to me, it was sort of favourite players rather than best players, which made it difficult.
Absolutely. That's what we want here. It reminds me a little bit, your whiteboard is. I did a stadium tour of the... Of Aldershot. I did a stadium tour of the Bayern Munich ground. The Allianz, and went in there, and they had this really high-tech whiteboard thing that looked like it was out of a sci-fi film. And the tour guide was like, yeah, this was bought in by Pep a few seasons ago.
Wow.
You know, this is his beauty, this is what he uses. But by this point, Pep had been gone about three seasons, and you could tell that this thing had not been used by any manager since. It was just covered in dust and way too confusing to use.
I get the impression with Pep, and he's obviously, like, if not one of the best, he is the best. But you kind of get the impression that he does a lot of this stuff almost to kind of back up his like tactical genius sort of, do you know what I mean? I'm sure he must get some use out of it, but I'm sure a lot of it is just, I'm sure he doesn't even understand it.
Arby, we're going to talk about Coventry City today, your team. And as ever, we're going to start with the quick fire questions. These are just to get to know you very quickly. Now, some of these questions I ask all the guests, and some of the questions are tailored depending on the team you support. See if you can spot which ones are which. So first of all, the team you support is Coventry City. And my first question is, as always, are they your local team?
Yes. Yeah.
Excellent. As we all know, that always means bonus points.
Good.
Yeah. Like that. I mean, I asked that question on the last episode to a Man United fan, and they sort of got a bit funny about that question. But I thought that was quite strange because I've had three guests on who are Man United fans. One was from Kent, one was from Exeter, and this guy was literally about half an hour away in Preston, and he got a bit funny with it. It was good old Freddie Quinn, and he was a bit like, oh, "All right, they're not my local team." I was thinking, mate, they're your local team.
Yeah, if you're above London enough
and you support Man United, that is a lot closer than half the world who support United, you know.
Yeah.
I was like, you could say that's your local team. He got the bonus points for that. He got the bonus points. It was fine.
I'm kind of in the middle. I mean, they are my localish team, but I'm kind of in the middle between Birmingham and Coventry, really.
Right,
where
okay.
I was brought up. And I went, well, I don't even know. I don't know if this is going to be one of your questions, but I don't even know how I became a fan of Coventry before I remember, and I've asked my mum beforehand sort of how that came about, whether she remembers how I adopted them as my team, and she doesn't really know. Like, but my dad doesn't like football. No one in my family really likes football. I don't have any sort of schoolhood mates that supported Coventry. I don't really know how it happened, apart from the fact that I'd probably asked for Man United tickets, and my mum had gone, check the prices, check the trains, thought, Coventry are all right, go for them.
That's interesting. I was going to ask about how you became a Coventry City fan. I do, knowing you live in the Midlands, I assumed it would be due to them being a local team who, when you were younger, no doubt, were probably enjoying their Premier League days, maybe?
Yeah. So I just caught the last sort of two or three years of our Premier League stay, but it was before I ever really was able to go and enjoy it and understand it properly. And then we got relegated in 2001, and that was, the last time we've been there.
So my next question is, who do you consider a bigger rival, Aston Villa or Birmingham?
So I think the more sort of old school supporters would say Villa, because back in those days, it was mainly Cov and Villa were the main sort of Midlands teams that were in the Premier League for the majority of that time. For the time that I've been going, it was actually, if anyone, Leicester more than Blues or Villa.
Right.
And they seem to sort of try and forge this almost fake rivalry. And I don't think anyone really cares about Cov. Like, we always sing about the Villa, we always sing about Leicester, and I don't think either of them actually really care about us. But Blues, we've actually got a fairly decent relationship with Blues because they obviously lent us their stadium. Mm-hmm. And we played Birmingham in the FA Cup when we were renting their stadium. So we were actually the home fans because we drew them in the FA Cup, but we were at home, Blues mm-hmm. were away. So they had to be the away fans in their own stadium. and they came up with one of the best chants I've ever heard at a football match, because we were all obviously sat in their home seats and the away fans were singing, "Who's the wanker in my seat? Who's the wanker in my seat?"
Oh, that's amazing. Did they have to, so they would have had to have gone, the team, in the away dressing room.
Yeah.
And also, were they wearing the away kit?
Good question, actually. I can't remember completely, but I think they would have been.
Yeah, because you wouldn't have had two shades of blue on the pitch, would you?
No. I seem to remember us wearing our home kit, but maybe we wore our third kit. But they were treated just as a normal away team.
I love it. Absolutely love it. So then my final question for this round is, complete this sentence. Dion Dublin is a club legend for...
Homes Under the Hammer.
Yeah. For those of you who listened to the podcast from the start, you know I've been desperate to talk about Dion Dublin for three series now, and finally today it's Dion Dublin.
Yeah, again, so he left us around the time when I was like 7 or 8. So I never really got to experience seeing him properly live, but I think most fans would call him a club legend. A lot of fans are still bitter of the fact that he went from a straight to Villa. He was a big part of our club, and one of our best goal scorers we've had for years before that and years since. So, yeah, I think most people would call him a club legend.
So I love Dion Dublin because, you know, I've always got a lot of time when footballers go off and do different things, you know. So Jeff Hurst, of course, responsible for the most iconic moment in English football, obviously went on to become, I think, a travel agent or an estate agent, something like that. Robbie Fowler's doing property development. And of course, Dion Dublin, you know, joining the ranks, the dream team on Homes Under the Hammer, always pointing to the stairs leading up to the bedrooms.
That's amazing.
But what I love is he does that by day and then gets back on Match of the Day at night.
Yeah, multi-talented. He's quite a good banter as well. I've seen him on a few panel shows and things, and he's like, he's all right, to be fair. He seems quite a good banter. On that, footballers that got other jobs, one of our FA Cup winning players, so from our 87 team that won the FA Cup, a player called Mickey Ginn, he became a postman. And I didn't realise, but I was at my sister's house, who lives in the village we grew up, and the doorbell went, and somebody was at the door. I think her Ring doorbell went off, so I went to get the post. And it was Mickey Ginn. And so I was like, oh, my God, Cov legend is at your door. She was like, oh, yeah, that's our postie. Like, we love him. He's really good. But she had no idea who he was.
Brilliant.
Just amazing. But he obviously just missed out on that gold rush. And obviously now he needs to, well, I suspect he needs to do that as a job.
It's great. He seems to, I don't know whether he necessarily needs to do both, but I love the fact that he does. I love that he'll just get one and go, right, what hat am I putting on today? And he's always dressed the same, which I love. He's always dressed, if he ever needs to quickly jump out of a seat and Match the Day and go and show somebody around a 3-bedroom abandoned house in Stoke, he's ready to go. So we were saying before, you're one of the first people I wanted to get on the podcast, actually, because I know we'd had a chat about football, knew you were a Coventry City fan, and it's taken three series to get you on. It just seems to be one of those things where every time we've planned it, it's never happened.
I'm not taking it personally, Sam.
although you have appeared already, I think you are technically the first guest to appear twice because you were in the lockdown special, which was like our third episode. Because I think what I did originally, I was planning to. To be honest, I'm not sure the podcast would have worked without this because I had no idea really about Zoom and doing interviews on there and things like that. So my plan was always to do the podcast face to face. So I think the first two episodes are face to face. Since then, it's just been Zoom, mainly to do with lockdown. But we did a lockdown special, and on there you were talking about, of course, the Sky Blues and how they were on the verge, of course, of being promoted. They were in the end promoted, of course, from League One into the Championship. But at the time, there was talk about the whole season being null and voided. What's your memories of that season, where, of course, you went completely undefeated?
Yeah, incredible. And I don't even, I mean, obviously it was curtailed, but the way we were going, and it's very rare I can be arrogant as a Coventry fan, but I didn't even feel as though we were going to be beaten. It was just that kind of scene. We were just so good. It's a bit of a bittersweet one, really, because obviously it was brilliant to go up and we're in the Championship now and back to where we should be and all that sort of stuff. But because of the timing of when it happened, we never really got to have that celebration. And it just feels a little bit bittersweet, really, as I say. It's a tough one.
It was a strange time, wasn't it? Because that particular season, there was some quite big victories. You know, obviously, like yourselves returning back to the Championship after all this time, Leeds being promoted back to the Premiership after 16 years, whatever it was, Liverpool winning the Premier League. And they all took place with no fans. It was mad. What should have been like the maddest season for having fans in the stadium was just strange. Yeah. I mean, I think one I remember was the Champions of League Two was Swindon and them sort of celebrating staggered out on the pitch, just them, you know, all in their full kit, but having to keep sort of 6 meters away from each other, whatever it was, and then 2 meters away. And then just sort of stood there like, yay, hooray for us. Don't hug. We can maybe do an office pump later on. How did Coventry celebrate?
Well, we didn't at the time. So the day it actually happened, there was an EFL meeting. And that was how they were going to come to a conclusion as to how they would end the season. So throughout that day, I've just been sort of like refreshing the news, waiting to hear how it was going to go. And it'd been mooted that it was likely that we were going to just get awarded champions on a points per game basis.
That was it, yeah.
But it wasn't 100% sure at that time. So like the news came through and it was like, wow, we've been promoted. But as you say, it should have been like a, I don't know, a last minute goal or like, do you know what I mean? It shouldn't have been like a bit of a notification from a BBC news app. It was, it was weird. So, and it was obviously full lockdown at that time. So couldn't even go and like have a drink with friends or anything. So I got my girlfriend in the garden. It was one of those like sunny days in lockdown, and we literally had like we popped a bottle of Prosecco in the garden. And that was our celebrations. Rubbish.
It is mad, that, isn't it, that you kind of envision the moment your team, whether they win a cup or gain promotion, you're sort of thinking, what's it going to be? You're going to be there surrounded by everybody. No, ball's going to hit the back of the net, full-time whistle, everyone's going to go mad. Not just sat there going, oh my God, statement. It's a statement. Yeah. How do you reckon Coventry's going to go this year? Probably a statement, something like that.
Yeah, third paragraph as well, not even like on the top.
Fantastic. I like that idea. There was something quite sweet about that in lockdown when you saw sort of not just Coventry, as I mentioned earlier, you know, Leeds fans and Liverpool fans just sort of at home, just with a champagne, with a Prosecco. Just, yay, we've done it.
A few people did sort of break lockdown rules going to the town centre and like there was a bit of a celebration, and then I think people were just getting like arrested all over the place and just think it wasn't really worth that.
It's good. And then obviously
weird times.
Yeah, they definitely were, man, especially when you think about football and how it was played for so long as well. For so long we got so used to it being played behind closed doors. Now we're back to normal. I can't believe that ever happened. But I think it was, recently they were showing a sort of montage of goals for a build-up to a match. It was Man City versus Liverpool. And in one of the montages, they showed Alisson's goal last minute goal, that header. I remember thinking, are they showing footage of a training match?
Yeah.
I was like, no, God, that happened. And in my memory, Alisson's goal was met by a huge, like, cheer at, you know, the Kop end or whatever, but it was just an empty stadium.
Because that's the thing, it took them a couple of weeks, didn't it, before they got the fake noise in. So for those first few games, it was literally just silence, wasn't it? It was like a training game. And then I remember when those first, like, the fake crowd noises came in, people were, like, really umming and ahhing over it. Yeah, weird.
That was mad, wasn't it? It was that whole, are you watching it with the sound on or off? And it was like FIFA sound effects, wasn't it?
Yeah. Sometimes they'd be like a bit delayed or they'll press the wrong button and it would be like someone would score and they'd go, ooh.
That's it. I was really, the biggest disappointment is in FIFA, they don't have the your shit.
Yeah.
Needed that.
It just lasts for ages.
Needed that. Sorry. I apologize, everybody. We're over the lockdown thing now. I did feel actually with series one, the podcast should have just been called Comedians Talking About Football in Lockdown, because obviously this is a very nostalgic podcast. We talk about, the glory days and all that sort of stuff. But during lockdown, when we were recording that, there was a real nostalgia about it. Someone would, like, Man United fan would go, oh, yeah, you know, and we won the treble that year back when we could see people.
Yeah,
wow. That sort of stuff. So, but it is about. So, let's go back a bit then. So, like you said, you're about 7 or 8 when you became a fan. What are your earliest memories of Coventry City? Who were the first players you remember?
Yeah, it would have been that 97-98 team. Really, I remember getting a VHS season review for my birthday, and I'd watched that season. I could honestly tell you every result of us 97-98 season, because it was literally all I watched for about 3 years. So in that team, you'd have had people like Dion Dublin, Noel Whelan, and I mean Marcus Hall, if you remember him, and Richard Shaw, just some really, like, decent players. Noel Whelan, to say Noel Whelan, Darren Huckabee, just good team. Gary McAllister.
Of course, yeah. My God. My memory of them in the 90s was their kits were just so sweet.
Yeah.
So sweet.
Yeah, we had good sponsors as well. We had some really cool sponsors, like Subaru. And we had some decent sponsors.
Did you get to go to games much when you were younger?
So it's really sad, actually. Somebody asked me about this the other day. For my birthday every year, I've got to go to a game. And so I used to go to, like, one game a year.
That's all right.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, no, I can't complain. Like, it's still pretty privileged. But I just remember the build-up. That was the main thing about my birthday, was knowing that I was about to go to a Cov game. and then it wasn't until I went to secondary school that I sort of found another Cov fan, and his family had season tickets. So they kind of adopted me and started taking me with them in secondary school. And then, as soon as I could drive, that was it then. Back in the day, I didn't really get to go very often, but I found a scrapbook. I used to keep the tickets, and I used to, like, do, like, a little handwritten match report.
It's so bad. Oh, mate, there's There's an Edinburgh show.
Yeah. I'll send you a screenshot. I put a picture up on Facebook a couple of years ago of it, just because the writing is so bad, but it's quite funny.
Oh, man, absolutely love it. Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We're going to hit you with the first emergency fact of the night. I know we haven't had an emergency fact on the podcast for a little while. I do apologise, everybody. You know how inconsistent I am with my regular features. Let's stick with one you probably know. And that was that the club originally known as Singers FC. Due to them founded under the name Singers FC back in 1883, after a meeting took place at the Singer Factory Gentlemen's Club. That sounds like a great place to be in 1883.
So they were like the sewing machines, which I'm sure most people know. And that's how it started. We were just the factory workers from the sewing machine company, and then it developed into Cov City.
And another emergency fact for you, which is spending 34 years in the top flight, the Sky Blues can boast one of the longest runs in English football top tier, with only the likes of Arsenal and Everton having spent longer up in the top tier. What do you make of that? Since incredible, considering they've been out since 2001. That's still an amazing stat to have.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. We, for so long, we were just sort of like, you wouldn't hear of anything about Kov on any kind of media. And it was like, we were such a small fry in the football landscape. And Kov fans got a bit of a chip on our shoulder about it. Because we're like, hang on, we're like quite a big deal. We were like one of the longest serving Premier League teams, this sort of stuff. And it's only been fairly recently, as we've had our like sort of rise back up the leagues, that we've been getting a bit more coverage. But yeah, I think we're quite bitter about it because we feel like we're bigger than we're portrayed.
And how do you feel about sort of as we record this, we're going to be going in to the 2022-2023 season. You went up, and obviously there must have been a bit of a thing where we mentioned earlier how long football was played behind closed doors. You finally got up to the Championship after so long, and then you didn't get to go to any games in the Championship. Was there a worry of, you know, whenever you go up into a new league, there was always the danger of dropping back down? Were you worried you weren't going to get to see a game in the Championship?
Yeah, it was a real threat for a while. And obviously we were playing our games at that time still at St. Andrews.
Yeah.
So it was a case of, even if suddenly the COVID situation got better, it would have been quite odd. And we had one season where we could go, or half a season where we could go to St. Andrews, and there was like 6,000 of us there. So it wasn't the same. So the fact that it all coincided with staying up, and then obviously the next season going back to Coventry, and then having the fans back in, it's been amazing this season. But there was a real worry we weren't going back down.
Did you get in then where they had limited fans in? Were you one of the lucky ones?
No, so I don't remember there being a time, maybe I've misremembered this. I don't remember there being a time where, maybe we could. Oh, yeah, you're right. There was a spell, wasn't there? Yeah, I didn't
like
go.
2000
I didn't go.
Or something.
Yeah, no, you're right. No, I didn't go at all that season. That was the first season where I've obviously never been to a game.
No, fair enough. So expectations then for the season coming. Are you confident, Harvey Hawkins?
I think it's ingrained in me to be a little bit pessimistic. I think we'll probably replicate the season we've had. I think we'll,
which hasn't been too bad. So, you know, being out of the Championship so long, you just want to stay in there for a bit, build.
It's been amazing. We've been pushing the playoffs pretty much the whole season. It's only been the last couple of weeks where it's got away from us. But yeah, I think it'll be a similar kind of mid-table finish, which it sounds a bit boring, but from where we've been, it's brilliant just to have proper atmospheres and just playing against players that you've heard of.
Let's talk a little bit about comedy then, Harvey. So we haven't gigged together for a very, very long time.
In ages.
I think it might have been Cheltenham back in maybe 2017, 2018, something like that.
Wow.
I mean, it's a long, long time. But sort of, what have you been doing recently? Because I know you obviously operate mainly down around Midlands, but you did have the Harvey Hawkins Comedy Club for a little while.
Yeah, and
how did you come up with the name for that?
I stole it off from some other guy. that is still running. It's only quarterly, so it's not sort of a huge gig. But the performing wise, it's been good.
Talking to Rich Hall the other day. Someone I'd love to get on the podcast. And hang on, it isn't even Rich Hall. I'll have to cut that. Wasn't Rich.
This is going to be awkward. No, it's going to be awkward for the person it is now when they're not as big as Rich Hall.
Hang on. Let me check. That's going to be awkward. Oh, no. Wait. Who is it?
Rich Hall's massive. You just casually dropped it in. I was just chatting to Rich Hall.
It's definitely not.
I was just chatting to Chris Rock the other day. And
do you know what? It it definitely wasn't that person. And I'm not going to say it was. I'm going to start again. I was talking to a comedian who definitely wasn't Rich Hall.
He sounded a lot more brummy than I remembered Rich Hall sounding.
Oh, no. Right, Harvey, I've been very much looking forward to this, considering all the prep you've done. It's now time for you to give us your very own. This is Harvey Hawkins, Fantasy Five-A-Side Coventry Team. And as ever, we don't want the best players of all time. Not necessarily. We want players that mean something to you that will result in a cult-like Fantasy Five-A-Side Sky Blues team. Who have you got for us?
Okay, right. Starting, obviously, goalkeeper.
Right.
I've gone for Steve Grusovic.
Brilliant. Love it already.
Player who I've never seen play, but club legend, obviously been with us for years and years, then moved into the coaching staff, and then now he's actually our sort of radio commentator for the games that you can't get to. And obviously been name-checked in Gavin and Stacey.
So, I was about to say, yeah.
So for all those reasons, he's in.
Love it. So we got that. That's Ness's goalkeeper coach, I believe. Love it. Okay, cool. So that's a brilliant choice already for goalkeeper.
Well, I thought about defenders, and I don't know if you can see this board, but I started listing all the defenders that kind of sprung to my mind, and I've got two, and neither of them were strong enough cases. So I've gone for quite...
Can I just say quickly, thank you for taking the defence seriously. Not once, I think, in the last few episodes, has anyone had more than one defender. everyone just seems to just rely on the one defender. So he's gone in for a defensive team, and you know me, as an ex-centre-back, I love a good defensive team. Who have you got for us?
This has gone horribly. I've set this up completely wrong, Sam. Sorry. What I meant was I've got my shortlist down to two, but neither of them were strong enough to make it into my team. So, flying in the face of everything you just said there, I've ignored both defenders.
We've gone from three episodes of one defender down to none. Brilliant. No, I don't believe it.
It was wrong. Worse than you thought.
I was getting so excited.
Mate.
I thought, at last, the old classic Rio Ferdinand phrase, a team of defenders will always beat a team of strikers. No one ever listens to Rio. They never do. Maybe for good reason. Right. Go on then. Who you got?
Were you a defender then, Sam? Is that where you played, was it?
Well, I played in defend as a defender and didn't necessarily defend. I was very much kind of, you know, third team for AFC Newbury 99 to 2000, but other than that, it didn't really progress. Oh, then again, there was did play centre back, got into the first team for Next Retail Park, starting 11. And that is exactly how it sounds. It's the Next up at the Retail Park in West Berkshire. So, yeah, I've got my experience, mate. You know, I know a thing or two about defending.
Who were you playing? Was it like you were playing against like River Island, like in a grudge match? Or was it against?
Right. You say that as a joke. I think we genuinely took on the biggest rival ever was the Central Reading Next. Oh, my days, what a match that was.
Oh, so it was like Next outlets against each other.
Well, it was sometimes. We also took on Halfords. Halfords near the big Sainsbury's in Newbury. If you're from West Berkshire, you'll love this. I think we also took on, Reading. So we took on Reading Caversham next, Reading West next. That's not me skipping to the next one. They were next.
Yeah. it sounds like you were just, every time you beat them. Right, next.
No, I don't think we won any good. We did beat Halfords. We struggled against, I'm trying to think if it was JJB at the time or if it was All Sports. Do you remember? Was it All Sports?
All Sports were a thing, yeah.
Yeah, All Sports. I can imagine All Sports. That
they probably had some quite sort of young, athletic sort of.
That was, thanks. So in the end, I think our biggest victory came against Argos, but I don't think they put together a strong 11, to be honest.
I love that.
Sorry, mate. So we've gone from my complete football. While we're going off subject, did you play much yourself? I never asked the comedians this. Yeah, a lot of stick for that. But do you play yourself?
Not 11-a-side now. Play 5-a-side still a little bit. I didn't have the time to commit to the 11-a-side. And then when a couple of years ago, I'd said to sort of the first team where I was playing that I just couldn't do it because I was away with comedy and my girlfriend was living in London at the time. And they said, well, the over 35 team, you're allowed like a couple of ringers.
Yeah.
And that's a lot more sort of casual. You don't really need to go to training, just kind of go to games if they need you. So for the last couple of years, I was playing for the over 35 veterans team. And I was like, oh, I am brilliant at football because I'm like running past these 50-year-olds. And then I'd play on 5-a-side again against people my own age and be like, oh, no, I'm quite shit.
Oh, my God. I think I tried to give 5-a-side football a go. I was shocking. I'd say how bad I was. A couple of weeks later, a mate of mine said, a bone man, I was 27 at the time. He said, hey, have you heard there's a walking football league just started? And he meant it seriously. He was like, you're still into your football, it's very tactical, why don't you give the old walking football a side? Now bear in mind, the youngest player in a walking football team, no disrespect, but the youngest player is normally about 98. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's a reason I don't talk to the comedians about if they still play football, because it brings back horrific memories of being beaten by all sports and being offered to join a walking football club in my mid-20s.
My girlfriend, when I said I'm playing football, I said, she's like, oh, is that for the first or is that the walking football? I was like, it's not walking football. She genuinely thought the veterans over 35s was walking football. Right, midfield.
Sorry, we've only got one player at the moment, haven't we? So we've skipped the defence.
Oggy can do it on his own. He's actually scored for us before. He scored straight from not a goal kick, like, but a kick from his hands he scored from. Oh, anyway, midfield, Michael Doyle, who probably isn't particularly well known for a lot of people, but he was with us my first year I had a season ticket.
Right.
He was our main sort of centre mid alongside Dennis Wise, actually.
Wow.
And then went off to Sheffield United and Portsmouth. And then came back just as we got relegated into League Two and was like a real pivotal figure now as like an elder statesman that kind of took us back up the leagues as like club captain. And yeah, just a real, probably actually in my lifetime, one of the only players that you'd call like a real club legend. So yeah, he's in there. And then alongside him is, again, a player that not many people will really know. So we like it's quite boring.
We love it. We love it. The more niche, the better.
Only been with us for 2 years. So he is still technically a Cov player at the moment, but it's a guy called Gus Hamer. And he's just unbelievable. He's like a real sort of diminutive, sort of quite small figure, but he's just got quality and he just pings it all over the place. And I think I went to the last game of the season and he kind of was like waving goodbye and stuff like that. So I think he's off. But yeah, I've never seen a player as good as him play for us.
That's such a strange thing, isn't it? How you read into everything these days, if a footballer is leaving or not, down to like what they post on Instagram, what they post on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes they'll literally be substituted and they'll give like a little clap as they always do. They go, oh, it's the way he clapped then. He's definitely played his last game in that shirt.
We had a player on loan a few years ago called Bright Enabakari, and he did an Instagram story just after he had left us on loan. And it was like, not sure as to whether he was going to come back as a permanent or not. And he just did an Instagram story of like a picture of his family or something. And he'd put two like blue love hearts. Mm. And the Cov forum was going, oh, he's chosen blue for the hearts. That means he's coming back. And you're like, come on, man. You're reading a bit much into that.
That's exactly what I mean. Is that these days, it's hilarious. One of my favorite things about like social media has brought out the worst in football fans, but it's also brought out the best sometimes. And I love it around sort of summer transfers, winter transfers, when all the fans turn detective about little things like that.
Yeah, incredible. And same as like when you've got like a trialist on loan, or it's like now that they've got a trialist and then he's sort of looking at the training photos, like, oh, it looks a bit like him. But, yeah.
Love it.
So, yeah, that's my midfield. And then up front, first one, Robbie Keane. He wasn't with us for very long.
No.
And I never really saw him play properly, but he's Robbie Keane, so he's got to go in.
Love it.
First player I ever remember kind of like idolising, when, as I say, I probably could have walked past him in the street and wouldn't have known who he was. But I just, as a kid, just knew the name Robbie Keane was our best player, and that was it.
I'll be honest with you, I completely forgot he was ever at Coventry City.
Yeah. He wasn't with us for very long, but we bought him from Wolves and then sold him to Inter Milan.
And that was under Strachan, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
Let's have a look. So he was with you. Yeah, it was the 99-2000 season. Because he'd been quite... I remember him at Wolverhampton Wanderers when he was really young, because it was like, you know, they'd been promoted. And I remember kind of the big fuss about him. Then obviously went to Coventry City. 31 appearances, 12 goals. Not bad. Not bad for a youngster.
Tell you what, though. Those guys, if people listen to this, after listening to the podcast, YouTube, his goals at Cov, I would say 10 of those 12 were worldies.
I mean, I can't remember ever seeing him score for them, but I will certainly do that. He had a funny career, man, when you start looking at it. You know, he was obviously mainly known for his time at Leeds and Tottenham. Then he had that spell at Liverpool, back to Tottenham, and then Celtic on loan, West Ham on loan, LA Galaxy. He spent a long time at LA Galaxies and Aston Villa. Really. But yeah, that's fantastic end addition to your five-a-side team.
And then the final one, again, it's somebody that only Coventry fans will probably know, and I'm going to get absolutely pelters for this from my friends because he's someone that really splits opinion, but he's a guy called Maxime Biamu. And he came to us from non-league and he was pretty rubbish, really. And he was a striker and he took about 20 games before he got his first goal. And I think he only scored about 10 for us in total. But one of them was, well, they were all like either screamers from 30, 40 yards, overhead kick. One was in the playoff semi-final to get us to Wembley. And he's just like a real cult figure for some fans. And then some fans absolutely hated him because he got so much love despite being so shit. It kind of really sort of split the room. But I'm sticking him in there. I'm a big hashtag Biamu.
Love it. Where what league were you playing at the time?
So he came to us in League Two and then moved with us to League One. And then he actually was with us for our first year in the Championship. And to be fair, most will argue with me with this, but I think he held his own in the Championship. although he left us and then hasn't really ever done anything since. So that's probably proof in itself. Really.
Well, I love it. That's a fantastic team, as ever. It's my favourite section of the podcast, and that's why some classic names in there. And of course, your gaffer, Harvey Hawkins. Thanks so much for coming on the podcast, mate, and talking all things commentary.
Loved it.
Of course, as ever, for taking part, you don't go away empty-handed. I get to send you some tat.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know this.
I'll cut this if it's wrong. What year were you born?
91.
Oh, bollocks, I fucked this up. No, actually, technically I haven't. Technically I haven't fucked this up, right?
1991 season.
Yeah, 1991 season. I have not messed this up at all.
Oh my god,
I've got you a program from the season were born. The football season,
mate, I'm absolutely buzzing with that.
I mean, you've got here, this is Coventry City versus Hull from Wednesday, the 31st of October 1990. Players in your team back then include the likes of Tony Dobson, David Speedy, Trevor Peake, Michael Ginn, Cyril Regis,
yeah. Yeah,
you've got your man in goal. You've got your man in goal. Of course you have. Yeah,
come on, Oggy.
Kevin McDonald as well, and you know, even the opposition have got some names in there. David Hockaday, Neil Buckley, Stephen Doyle. So I'll get this sent to you, and I've got another one.
That's a lovely touch.
I've got another program here for you as well because I know you considered a bit of a rivalry at this time. This is from 2006. This is a program, Coventry City versus Leicester.
Hey. I think that's Doyle on the front, actually, who was in my final team.
There we go. It's all worked out perfectly. In fact, I'm really hoping, if I've done it right, there might be a poster of Doyle in the middle. You can take him out, put him in your whiteboard.
I love that.
So I'll get those sent over to you, my man. And thank you, honestly, so much for coming on. I'm glad we finally got around to having you on properly. In regards to stand-up, where can people come and find you? You normally gig wherever. Online, where can people find you?
Yeah, so I'm on sort of Twitter and Instagram, that sort of thing. It's just Harv_Hawks. And then in terms of coming to see me do stand-up, to be honest, my fee is the same whether people are there or not, so it doesn't really matter. I wouldn't bother.
And what about the Harvey Hawkins Comedy Show? As we go later into the year, what shows have you got coming up? You got anything booked in for that, or is it a bit advanced?
Yeah, we've got a few. We've got... again, they're little villages, so Cobb fans listening will probably know the places, but they're sort of Borstal Common and Kenilworth is where we do them. But yeah, we've got a couple coming up in July. But again, as you pointed out, the name of the clubs are very narcissistically called harveyhawkinscomedy.co.uk, so it's all on there.
So harveyhawkinscomedy.co.uk, find everything there to do with Harvey. But yes, thanks very much for coming on, mate. I've really appreciated it. Good to chat to you. And hopefully we gig together soon as well, because it's been too long.
Yeah, thank you, mate. Thank you for having me. And then now we've got fans back in. You're welcome at the, it's not called the Rico anymore, the CBS Arena, when Cobb host Reading. We'll have a beer beforehand.
Thanks again to Harvey for coming on the podcast, and do go and check out his stuff online. He's on Instagram and he's on TikTok. You can find him. He's got the same handle across both, which is Harv_Hawks_comedy. And like him, you can follow us on social media. We've got the same handle across both things as well. We're on Twitter and we're on Instagram, and you can find us at ComTalkFootyPod. That's at ComTalkFootyPod. If you enjoyed the episode, why not go and leave us a review on Apple, or give us a star rating on Spotify? We would really appreciate it. Or, at the very least, if you enjoyed the episode, why not tell a mate who you think might enjoy it too? A huge thank you again to our sponsor for this episode, We Are Cult.rocks, your companion for all things cult. Next week, our guest is Trevor Bickles, and he's talking about West Ham. Yes, finally, Hammers fans. I know it's what you've been waiting for. We finally have a West Ham episode, so do come and find us for that. Until then, saying see you next week. Cheers.
Football. At the end of the day, football, it's a funny old game.
It's a game of two.
Comedians talking about football.
Comedians talking about football.
Comedians talking about football.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.